Good afternoon, Steeler Nation. This is Rudy Rude Dog Reyes on the Rude Dog Show on SoundCloud as well as the RudeDogShow.com. So check it out. And this afternoon, I got to say, I usually don't have an opportunity to interview players who are local to me. For example, the gentleman today is from Bakersfield, California. If you don't know where that is, Google it. If you blink and you drive on a highway, you'll miss it on your way to Fresno or wherever you're headed. So this gentleman is not only the first long snapper, but probably one of the best long snappers to head into the 2016 NFL draft. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you haven't looked at him already, he's from Central Washington University. He is 6'1", 240. He's by far one of the most excellent long snappers currently available. So any scouts that are listening, check it out. This is Jason Diffie. Welcome, Jason. How are you? Thanks for coming on.
Doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. I appreciate you taking your time out to discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything else headed into the 2016 NFL draft. So what we're going to do is let's just get into it because I really want to dig into where you've been, how you started, and where you're headed. Obviously, an NFL 2016 draft that's not highly saturated with a lot of long snappers. And I know I looked at your bio. We've talked a little bit before the interview. I've looked at your film. You started relatively late. What was it about the desire to be a long snapper amongst any other position you could possibly imagine, from tight end to punter to wide receiver, quarterback, that made you want to get into it?
Well, my size has a lot to do with that. I played offensive line my whole entire childhood in high school. And a good buddy of mine, a guy who I got to play high school football with for many years, is a long snapper at Alabama, Cole Mazza. And basically, he took me to a camp one time, and I just kind of watched a Rubio long snapping camp in Las Vegas. And I really liked it, and I thought, I might as well give this a try, maybe this could be my ticket to college. And my senior season, he trained me, he taught me things about long snapping and helped develop me as a snapper. And along the way, I started going to camps, and then I went to junior college for a year and then was able to pick up a scholarship to snap at Central Washington University. And I truly believe if I didn't, convert to a long snapper, I probably would never have the opportunity to play college football.
How do you know that? Did you try those other positions? I mean, being on the offensive line, I mean, you still have defense. Wasn't there anything on the defensive side of the ball that just made you want to say, I want to try this?
I had never really played defense my entire life, and I know for my size, I wasn't going to have many opportunities. Being 6 foot, 250 pounds at the time, there's not a lot of opportunities for a player of, with my speed. I didn't run a 4.7 like you have to play tight end or linebacker. So I went with the most realistic opportunity I had and the best chance I thought I had at playing at the next level.
Well, here you are now, 2016 NFL draft right around the corner, and again, because there aren't a plethora of fantastic long snappers, tell me what you would do different from an NCAA class football style to an NFL football style?
I think just everything changes when you go up to the next level. Obviously, balancing school and football is a lot for any college athlete because school's a full-time job as well as college football. So when you make it to the NFL, if you have that opportunity, you get to just focus your time and effort onto your craft, and you can really elevate your game when you're all you're really worried about is your performance on the field.
Well, not only is your performance on the field acceptable, and it's what teams look for. They really want the vibrant, the high aptitude players on and off the field. What would you be able to contribute to an NFL team off of the field in any given community?
Well, I come from a very stable family. Both my parents are successful business people, and I've been raised to affect the community and be a positive influence. And one one thing my father and my grandfather have always told me is when you go out into the world, you do not represent just yourself, you represent your last name. And I truly believe that right now my last name is not mine. It is not my last name until I have my own children. So every time I go out into the community or anything I do in life, I want to represent my father and my grandfather and the Diffies before them and just set a good example. And I feel what I can bring to any communities, you're going to get somebody who's going to be involved in the community, do his best to help provide better opportunities for people, and really just get in and hands-on and help the community out.
Well, there are a lot of teams in the NFL that could use someone who is not only family-oriented, but someone who recognizes what they need to do in order to not only be an inspiration to children, because, again, most dynamics in the NFL come from children who look up to certain players. And there's one, for example, Cam Newton just played in a Super Bowl, lost his first Super Bowl, and showed a sign of unsportsmanlike activities, yet writes a letter today to his fans apologizing about his behavior. As we move forward, I know you watched the game, but as we move forward, what do you take away from that game, and or what do you take away from the sportsmanship or lack thereof from Cam Newton on an NFL podium?
Yeah, well, I can't really put myself in Cam Newton's shoes just for the simple fact I've never, you know, played an NFL game, let alone the biggest game in the world. So I could understand what he was, you know, going through. I would imagine that it was just devastating to go through that that game and just the way, you know, the way it came about. But what I think you learn from that is you can try your best to prepare yourself for failure and success and say, okay, this is how I'm going to do it, if you know, whichever route it takes me. But you really don't know how you're going to respond until you're put in that situation. And then once you're put in that situation and you react the way you do, I think you have to take a step back and kind of analyze yourself and be like, okay, this is what happened. Now what can I do to be better? Because everybody can improve on their character at all times. And I believe, you know, Cam probably did the same thing. He kind of looked back and said, well, this is not what I want to be remembered as. So maybe, you know, next time if he goes through this again, he knows how to handle a little bit better. But I truly believe you don't know what you're going to do until you're put into that situation for the first time.
Well, let's take this piece by piece. I guarantee that you've been in an NCAA game where you were on the losing side of the ball.
Yes.
And if you had an interview, what would your reaction be? Would you just not say anything? I mean, in the NCAA, you really don't have to converse with the media. That's not part of any type of contract. How would you go about handling something like that?
I think in that type of situation, what I would do is just say how hard my team fought for that win, during that game, and how much I appreciate, you know, their effort, and just try to stay as positive as possible, and don't talk about myself. Just talk about the team and how the team did good, and point out all the positives, and really support your teammates and the media that way. Because the worst thing you want to do in that situation is point the finger at people, or, you know, talk about yourself in a positive way and talk about the team negatively. The best way is just put all the attention on the team and point out all the positives that happened from that game and just go from there.
Well, you have to take a lot away from an NFL game or NCAA, whether it's basketball or tennis or, you know, croquet or, you know, whatever you're playing, whatever you are on the losing side, you have to understand how to respond. A lot of that comes from the maturity angle. Let's be honest here.
Yes,
not a lot of players will get to the pinnacle of a Super Bowl, and a lot of players don't and have not. And those that have been to the dance, I'll give you a good example of that. The Buffalo Bills have been there four times, have been denied four times. Guarantee a piece of humble pie had to have been served relatively large at the fourth time they were able to drop off, but yet still retained the capabilities to understand, look, this was a loss. I'm taking it on the chin. We're going to be better next year. They didn't win the Super Bowl. We'll be better next year. Didn't win the Super Bowl. We'll be better even next year, even more so better than 3 years previously, and still didn't win the Super Bowl. So it's a collective win, collective loss.
Exactly.
And sportsmanship is a really solid key, and you've been able to understand and have a sense of humility with all the things that you face, not only as a person, but as a player. I mean, you've never been outside of California before. You were at a Central Washington University team, an area where they're located where you didn't know anyone. That had to have been completely night and day for you. You go from being surrounded by people you know, people you love, to a place where you don't know. And that's just the small part of it. You got into long snapping very, very late. So having those adversities, facing those simultaneously, had to have been an impact on you. How are you able to acclimate yourself to the Central Washington University system?
My personality, I get along with people very easily. I'm very, I'll go my way to talk to people. So meeting people was not necessarily the hard part. The hard part, I would say, was definitely being away from the family. And, I'm not going to lie, there was times, the first couple of weeks, I'm like, am I going to be able to, survive 3 years up here this far away from my family? And just through talking with my family on the phone and stuff like that, after a couple of weeks, I got into, the groove of things with the team, and I met some good friends. And after that, it just kind of, it got smoother and smoother. But you have to focus on those first couple of weeks and just really, put all your attention into football so you don't get distracted by missing home and stuff like that. Because I would have really regretted if I would have left and not continued out my career. And I'm very thankful that my family was very supportive, and I got through those first couple of weeks of camp. And after that, I believe coming up here was one of the best decisions of my life.
Well, it's always good to know that you have a solid backbone to assist any player, no matter where you go. If you're drafted out of USC and you're going to play in New England, these are night and day locations, and in turn have to understand those dynamics. And, you're going to miss people, but understanding the ultimate goal, that's basically where you've headed, exactly, where you've been headed to and where you're going. And along with that, there was a time where you were faced with a personal issue, and your mother was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Obviously, without a shadow of a doubt, anybody in any given sport, even when you're not in sports, recognizes the severity of having cancer. Just cancer, forget the ovarian part, but just cancer alone is a killer. It kills millions of people every single year. What was it about facing that type of adversity with your mom having cancer and you're so far away from home? What were you able to do to still keep your mind on what you had to do while you're at Central Washington University?
Well, it was really hard because, all of us kids, we see our parents as invincible. And when they get sick, it just really shocks you. And, you can't imagine your life without them. For me, my mom at first wanted to keep it away from me so I could focus on football and school. But then eventually came around and telling me and basically told me that everything was going to be okay. She had her support system. The doctors were saying it was looking good. So she said, just worry about yourself, worry about football, worry about school. And when you come home for the holidays, we can talk. We can sit down and talk about that stuff then. But she goes, there's nothing you can do to control what's happening with me. So don't let it affect you on the field, and don't let it affect you in the classroom. And that's really how I had to approach it. I had, obviously, my friends were very supportive of me through the whole process because it was hard. It was my first year away from home, this far away from home. And, my mom got sick for the first time. And it was hard, but I truly believe that adversity and that challenge had shaped me into a more strong individual from that experience. And, I just had to take it one day at a time, and I was able to call my mom almost every single day and talk to her. So, that made it nice. But at the end of the day, we both got through it, and she's been cancer-free for almost 2 years now.
Well, that's fantastic. Good news for her, and even better news for you, that there are teams out there looking for someone with your skill set. As I watch film, you have solid hustle. You know how to come off blocks and head downfield just like any other player, in a special team squad. And the way that you snap the ball and the type of delivery that you have once it releases your hand ends up in the person's hands squared, it's straight, and almost to a point where you can grab it one-handed.
Yeah.
What do you tone for that?
That's just repetition. Long snapping is one of those things, you're not just going to be gifted at it. It's not like, people who naturally can run really fast or, are naturally really strong. Long snapping is just kind of like kicking, where it's a learned trade, and it takes hours and hours of repetition, to get to that point, and thousands and thousands of snaps to, right when it leaves my fingertips, I can tell where the ball is going to go. I can feel where the ball is going to go. And that just takes repetition and repetition over and over. And that's how you get to that point, is just through the hard work and the practice.
Some people never have an opportunity to play in the NFL. And yours wasn't as easy as well. I mean, you were only at Central Washington University. You were the starting snapper, but there for three seasons. Because you started so late, do you believe that that could be a negative or a positive? Because sometimes players develop bad habits when they've been playing relatively long in the NCAA.
I truly believe it actually benefits me not having as much experience as other people, is because when teams come to look at me and they found out that, or they find out that I've only been snapping for 4 years, they're like, okay, this is where he's at in 4 years. Just imagine where he could be at another 4 years. Because, you know, there's still things, you know, that I'm working on to, you know, fine tune and make perfect. So there's always room for improvement. And I also too believe, you know, getting into it late, I was able to avoid some bad habits that other people get into when they get into it relatively young, because your body's maybe not developed enough to, you know, put that much force into your snap and stuff like that. So I was able to getting into a younger age to avoid some of those bad habits. And another good thing too is right when I got into it, I got proper training. You know, I didn't try doing it on my own and creating my own bad habits. I got the proper training right away. And right when I was starting to form myself as a snapper, I knew exactly what I needed to do to be a good snapper.
Your coach, Ian Shoemaker, would probably have a lot of things to say. You'd probably say he's on time, he's thorough, he has longevity, he's punctual. If I was to call Coach Shoemaker and ask him, what do you believe Jason needs to work on in order to get him to the next level? What would he say?
I think he'd definitely say just my body. I've improved on that dramatically from the first two scouts who came and looked at me last March. But, and that's always a constant improvement, just, you know, getting my body into the best shape as possible. And I think that's probably what he would say, is just continue to fine-tuning your body and getting it ready for the next level.
What kind of off-season workouts, what kinds of things have you been doing? Let's just take the normalcy of regular workouts and throw them out the window. What have you been doing? Maybe yoga, maybe water polo. What have you been doing to keep yourself not only ready for the NFL draft, but to help you excel once you get there and drafted by an NFL team?
Definitely, I wanted to work on my speed more than anything. So I actually began working out with the track team and working on my sprints and stuff like that, so I could get down the field a little bit quicker than I have been, you know, and improve that aspect of my game. And I've been training with a teammate of mine, and we've just been really focusing on, you know, the quick twitch muscles, and really focusing on the stuff that we need to get better at for the, you know, pro day and stuff like that. So just really kind of, you're doing a football workout, but you're also kind of tweaking a little bit to improve your scores for your pro day.
Let's go a little bit backwards.
Okay.
If I spoke to Benny Boyd on the special team side, what was his first impression of you when you got onto the field and handled the ball for the very first time?
Well, it's funny. Our meeting we had before our first practice, he told me I snapped a little bit before, so I can help you out. You know, I'll point you in directions, you know, if I see fit. And we come off the field after that first practice. He goes, you know, way more than I ever did. So I'm just gonna let you do your thing, and we'll have a good season together.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad that you were able to not only be honest, but to recognize the things that need improvement. I don't see a lot of things as far as improvement from you. You know how to get off blocks. You got great foot action. You have great hand-eye coordination. All the things that you want in a long snapper. Yeah. If an NFL team was to draft you, and you were standing on the podium, Roger Goodell handed you your jersey and your hat, who would be the first person that you would thank?
Oh, gosh. I got to thank my mom and my dad first, because without them, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be the man I am today. They are my number one support system. They are my number one fans. And without them, I'm nobody without them. So they would definitely be the first people I thanked.
always a good thing to recognize those who have helped you get there. And even those that have been there before you, you know, be it a long snapper, whether it's quarterback or whatever position you happen to be in, always good to recognize those that have been there for you the entire time. Hey, Jason, I want to thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you coming on. If there's anything else I can do for you in the future, feel free to reach out. Let me know. And I'm sure we'll be able to figure something out to help, you know, assist you further down the line as we wait very patiently, and for some not so patiently, waiting for the 2016 NFL draft. So again, any scouts that are listening, by the way, I strongly suggest if you have a need for a long snapper and somebody who's consistent, somebody who's strong, somebody who knows how to get off blocks, has great footwork, great hand-eye, look no further. Jason Diffie is your man. And if I can throw a cliche in there, he is the difference. Well, okay, well, good enough.
Thank you for having me on your show. It was an honor.
Oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jason. And I wish you the best headed into the 2016 NFL Draft. And with that being said, this has been Jason Diffie, Long Snapper, Central Washington University. I said that in all one breath. This has been Rudy Rude Dog Reyes on the RudeDogShow.com. And make sure you check out my SoundCloud on the Rude Dog Show.